Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, I bring a little bit of an introduction to what we're going to share this morning. I want you to know you can turn in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I just want to share this with you that I don't want this just to be a phrase that comes across, because if you've been in church some segment of time in your life, you would know that, well, yeah, this is what we're supposed to say and this is what we're supposed to believe. I just want you to know that God would like to get close to you. Okay? In a way where he does. He gets your attention, and you and I are aware of him and aware of his presence, not just when we, maybe go to church, not just when maybe sometime during the week where you may crack open your Bible or your daily devotional book, not just then, but throughout your daily living. Middle of the night, driving in the vehicle, you're in the middle of a conversation with someone, and all of a sudden you recognize, though there's just two of you, there seems to be this third party, and it's God, and he's getting in touch with you, and while you're paying attention to this person and you're talking with them, he is speaking to you. Listen, we have that capability, okay, to understand that, all right? Because I can be talking to one of my children in the home and sharing in a conversation, but then there's a voice that comes from somewhere else in the house. And I can do this while I hear whosever voice that might be. You can, we have the ability to do a little bit of multitasking. Now, guys, we have to concentrate and focus a little more, because this isn't necessarily our natural gifting. I called it a gifting, ladies. He wants to be close to you. And I will tell you this, I don't want this to be just a phrase, yeah, I know. I want you to know that this morning, I sense to share this with you because this is very much on God's mind for us today, okay? This is not, what will I talk about this Sunday? I was in a conversation with someone that this passage came up in conversation, and it wasn't like the key of our conversation. It's just something that came up. And while I was having this conversation with this person, this is when the third party moved into the room, so to speak, and God got my attention while I'm dialoguing with this person and kind of said, "Hey, Randy, I'd like you to talk about this on Sunday." Sorry, son. It was a quickening in the moment. And God would not do that if it was not on his mind or his heart to say something to us in this place today. So if you could maybe muster up a little bit of, "Hey, you mean God's interested in me?" Yeah. He is interested in you, and he's interested in being involved in your life, and he is interested in showing who he is to you. Okay? I don't want to bring this to a lower human level, okay? But so that we can equate this is when you met her. Yes, you wanted to get to know her. Yes. But you also wanted to show her kind of what you're made of. Why you should choose, in this context, you know, me, him. I want to show you who I am so you know you don't have to look much further. I'm the man. Okay? Now, that's a human level, but I want you to understand that is how God is to some extent. He says, hey, I want you to know who I am. That I'm the God. Okay? I am Him. And I'd really like to get close to you. And this is the advantage He has. He already knows you. He already knows me, but He'd like to go, I want to show you who I am because I've been watching you and I know you and I don't want you to look anywhere else because I am. Period. And so this morning, I want us to look at restoring to our life or maybe not restoring as if we have gone backwards or lost something, but for some it would be the ongoing presence of the Lord in our life. Restoring the presence, the nearness, the closeness. Here's a word I'll use. It'll weird out all the men in the room. But the intimacy... Ugh. See all the guys cringe on their face and then do this. I don't need that. That's girl stuff. Yeah, whatever. Listen, the nearness of God. Because I want you to remind yourself as we walk through this a little bit this morning and allow the Spirit to stir this awareness up in us and maybe move it to the front of our brains. Rather than just on a back burner, I want you to remember this. Apart from Him, there is no deliverance. Outside of His presence, there is no healing. Away from Him, there is no real, authentic peace. Outside of His presence, away from Him, distant from Him, there is no actual faith-based hope. So if we are not near Him and in His presence, there is no fullness of this joy. Oh, there's something that might make you happy once in a while, or something happened, and woohoo, I found a quarter on the parking lot. Hey, it's so much different than a penny. You know, something might make you happy, something might, you know, but I'm talking about the sustenance of life that empowers us to walk through the ups and downs of our life and still have a stability about us. That was a good yup. I'll take that as an amen, Tom. Yup is a good word. It's a Kenosha word. Yup. So I want us to notice something here. And there's many aspects to, you know, responding to God's presence, things we can do to, you know, become greater, more aware of His greatness and His closeness. There are things that we can do that open up this avenue. It's not just, well, if God wants to get close to me, He's got my address. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, what is happening here, just to give you a little basis so I don't have to read and go back and all of that, is the Ark of the Covenant. It was, in maybe modern vernacular, it's the box of God, His presence, though he was everywhere, his presence was in this box. And the priests had to carry this around. Okay, and they were trying to get it back. They lost it. Listen. Pagan people and all of that, they had their idols and their gods and all of this. But God's people had this physical box that housed God's presence. Now, once again, he is everywhere, but this was the nearness of his presence. This was the physical reminder of his presence. This was, you know, so they had this with them. They lost it. They lose it in war. They lose it in battles. History went on, and David is now king, this man David, and he says, we've got to go return, go get the presence, restore the presence of God amongst God's people. So they set out to do this. They tried it once. It didn't go so well. Somebody died. So they said, that's it. We're not bringing the Ark of God. We're not ready. We didn't pay attention on how to do this. Because you can't just be casual about this. This is God. You can be personal, but we're not casual about it. This is the Lord. And so that didn't go well. They left it at a man's place called Obed-Edom. And while it was there, news reached King David. And while they were researching how we should really move the Ark of the Covenant, this box of God, and restore God's presence amongst God's people, they were studying and researching and trying to find out how do we do this. Well, why the presence of God was in the Ark of the Covenant at Obed-Edom's house, say that a few times, everything at his place started to prosper. And of course, the news reached King David. He said, listen, we know what to do. We know how to restore God's presence. And so we kind of jump into the story, and they're starting to make the trek back with the Ark of the Covenant, the box of God, the presence of God, to be restored in their life. So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, I'm going to start probably in the middle of verse 12, where it says, so David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone six steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And he danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. There was worship, there was celebration, there was a gratitude, there was praise. This was an exciting time. God was being restored. His presence was being restored to God's people. But this is what I want us to just take this little piece out this morning. It says, as they moved six steps, they sacrificed. Now, we know that sacrifice, where sacrifice took place was at an altar. And we have learned that we can make anywhere an altar, as long as there is this sacrifice unto the Lord. This is what I want us to capture this morning. That you and I, if we want to restore, have a greater awareness of God's presence and open the door to Him in our life. If you're going through trouble or you feel distant from God, here is one thing that you can do to begin to restore the greater presence of God in your life. Is don't travel too far and don't let too much time go by before you offer up to Him an act of worship. He responds to worship. He responds to praise. He responds to gratitude. I mean, don't you? We are made in His likeness, and I don't want to take that out of context, but there is this thing that we are created. We understand gratitude. We understand praise. We understand worship. We understand respect, because let's face it, it's all something we want to receive, and it is something we should give. And when it comes to God, in the human level, when you offer that to somebody, it doesn't just make them feel good, it makes them close to you. Once again, I want to thank you two for being here this morning. Not that you knew this was coming. He wants to show you who He is. He's the man. And when you respond favorably, like, yeah, ooh, you kind of are the man. I mean, He's not taking the place of God, but it's a little bit of, hey, I like you. And when you respond like that, when He begins to reveal who He is and what He's like, and you like it, and you go, He's like, this is working. She's responding. I don't want to wait 3 days to call her. I want to call her tonight. And I just dropped her off. Yeah, this is before you were married. I know you were married. I was there. I pronounced. Please tell me, now that you're married, please, and don't say anything, don't let that be over. Of course, now you've gotten to know him so much better. It's amazing what he hid. Anyhow, no, I'm kidding. That nearness, that closeness, that I want to show you who I am, and they respond to it. And God, you begin to discover, and God shows Himself what He's like, and we begin to worship, and we begin to praise, we begin to go, I don't even know if I have a word for that. Wow. And he gets closer. And we become aware of His presence. We become responsive that He isn't there just on Sunday. I'm hoping He's at least here on Sunday, but not only on Sunday, but in our lives. And so David goes and the priests go and they take six steps and they make a sacrifice. They take six steps and they make a sacrifice. This act of worship. They were not buying God's presence. Can't do it. We know that we do not create a sacrifice or do something good so that we go to heaven. Because we understand something, that God is not pleased with sacrifice from the blood of bulls or fattened animals. We know that. And Scripture talks about it. It says, do I delight in the blood of bulls and goats? No. It is in obedience. Listen to this. God calls not for us to sacrifice, but our act of worship is in obedience to Him. So understand that when we sang this morning, and some of you raised your hands, some of you came up front, some of you maybe sat down and had a private time of worship unto the Lord and adoration to the Lord, I want you to know that worship goes way beyond that, and worship is when we obey Him. We obey Him. This is how it works. Son, don't tell me that you love me. Don't tell me that you respect me when you did not do what I asked or instructed you to do. Don't come back and say, I love you, I respect you, Dad, you're great, you're the man, woohoo, want to be like you. When you did not do what I instructed you to do. I instructed you to do something for a reason. Maybe not something you understand at a younger age. But don't come back here and tell me you love me. I mean, that sounds really nice. But it's falling on deaf ears because you did not obey what your father commanded you to do. I'm just using him for example. Okay, I'm not referring to anything, so don't let your mind wander, son. You love me. Listen, and he does love me. It's when we come to the Lord, we can praise him and worship him, and there is his presence. But what evokes his presence, what brings his presence continually sustained in our life in the nearness of God, has to also go beyond songs and lip service. And it moves to a place of obedience. That is worship. So the sacrifice, if there's sacrifice involved here, see, when it comes to salvation, Jesus was the sacrifice. He was perfect blood. He was without sin. He paid the price. I cannot sacrifice anything to achieve heaven. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ alone and what he did. But now because I am in faith in Christ, I am called to also exercise and express faith and walk with God, and that my life would be transformed. It must be like Paul wrote in the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it's around verse 31, and he says, listen, I die daily. In other words, Paul did not travel far. He did not let a long time go on before he did an act of worship, an act of obedience. The dying daily is the sacrifice, not for heaven, but to some respect, it is the cost for God's presence to be near in our life. It is the sacrifice of our fleshy attitude. I die daily, he says. He didn't go many days without making an altar, so to speak, without doing an act of worship unto God. He didn't just, you know, obey on Christmas or Easter, and he was really holy on Good Friday, and then once in a while, you know, the other big one, Mother's Day. Or the other random times when, like, I really need something from God. So now, I really need something. Oh, Lord, how I love thee. It is this dying daily and not traveling too far without an act of worship unto him, which has to do, that act of worship, a sacrifice, the crucifying of ourself, that we would be alive in Christ because he obeyed the Father and we would obey him, and there was this nearness and there was this presence. Understand this, that when Jesus left heaven, was born of a virgin, he was born a boy, a baby boy, a man. And when he was here walking on earth in humanity, human, he had to actually seek his Father, seek his presence. Here was one of the keys. It wasn't just sentiment. It was that Jesus, who is perfect and without sin, walked in obedience to his Father. And that was the worship, and it brought the presence and the nearness so close that the fullness of God, that he was present in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, that when Jesus showed up, the devil got out of the way, people got set free, healed, miracles happened that all reflected the goodness of God. Jesus didn't just seek the Lord just the day before he was going to teach. He didn't just seek the Lord coming up to Passover. He had the ongoing, maintaining, pursuing God, wanted the presence of the Father in his life, and so he walked in obedience. He didn't let days go by, or he didn't travel too far without the sacrifice, the act of worship. Here's David with his priests and all of Israel. He didn't let them travel very far. One, two, three, four, five, six. Didn't travel very far and didn't let much time pass before he offered up an act of worship. And it brought and restored the presence of God to the people. You and I, if I will, in my daily life, in my nightly life, if I will not let much time pass or travel too far through my day without some moment, somewhere, repeatedly offering up an acknowledgement of God and an act of worship and die to myself and walk in obedience, I will have the ever-increasing presence of God in my life. So will you. Imagine that if we did that, and then when we got together. Good, Sam. You and I agree. A yes and a yup. I'm doing good this morning. Imagine we got together. The multiplication of that. The intensity of that. That there could be people among us who didn't do that, but they would be affected by it because his presence would be so increased in this place. And all the inhibitions that they have would begin to be washed away, and not because of our reasoning, but because they sensed God and they got some answers. And something moved upon their heart, just like it happened to you and to me. A presence. A presence of the Lord that begins to soften hearts. I remember, well, it was different occasions, but one just came to mind. And it here, in our town, in our humble little hamlet. I don't know where that came from, but it just came out. I remember walking into a place of business, and there was a lady in this business. She said, "I know you." I said, "Oh, hi." She heard me speak at a funeral somewhere, and heard me talk in one other place. And her response was, "You always make me cry." Yeah, they have effect on a lot. My mother cries a lot when she thinks. No, yeah. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was in the context of, I listen to you, I get around you, and I can't explain it. Something happens in here, in me. It's not the first time I've heard it. I mean, other than my family, you know, I mean, I've heard it from something. I get around you, and it's not like something I try to do. I don't say mean things to them. That's not the context. It's, I don't understand my emotions, and I get around you, and something's going through my soul and flushing things out, and I get a little unnerved by you, you know. You know, you probably heard it about you. You have the presence of the Lord in you and upon you, and you're being yourself, but you just somehow his presence is lingering on you since your last act of worship, and you reach the people, you call out, you do something, and something happens. And maybe it's they don't cry. Maybe it's they're just drawn from a distance. Something. They can't explain it. It's not the way you and I look, obviously. It's not just, you know, what we drive or the way we dress. It's His presence. You've been near Him and He's near you, and you have not traveled far or let much time go by since you have offered an act of worship. And sometimes it's just a brief moment in my day, and then at another time in the day, it could be lengthened. It could be longer. There's something on you. I remember being around people like that in times in my life. I remember coming here not so long ago. It was one night I got a call late at home, and there were some young adults here, and some were from North Central University in Minneapolis, and got a call, and there were some ministry things going on, and they had a question and weren't sure, and better call your dad. And so I come over, and they were in the hallway office, and I was going into an office, and I just greeted them and walked by. Well, a day later, I hear their conversation. I wasn't inquiring. I heard through my family, when your dad came in and he came down the hallway, there was like, he just walked through here like with such authority. I didn't have a suit on. I didn't stick my chest out. I didn't remind anybody there that I was the pastor. I walked in like I walk in any other day. Sometimes joking around, sometimes a little serious, sometimes preoccupied. Now listen, I didn't wear some subliminal t-shirt. When you look at it in a certain light, there's this quick flash of authority. Like authority. And they said, oh, hey, someone came in. Listen, that's not... It's not me, Pat. It was Him. His presence. His presence. His presence. And sometimes He shows up in authority. Sometimes He shows up with wisdom. Sometimes He shows up so warm, so relational. Sometimes you walk into a place and someone's a distance away and they just watch you and carry on a brief conversation with a clerk and you walk away and they say hi and they say, if you don't mind me saying, you're a Christian, aren't you? It's not on my t-shirt. There was no cross on me. Will you tell me? It's His presence. And I will be the first to admit that there are moments and there are days where my obedience is not where it should be, or the act of worship, I traveled a little longer, I let a little longer time go on than I should have. But I can't throw in the towel. When they first tried to move the ark, they made a mistake. It cost somebody their life. They went and they put it at Obed-Edom's house and went back and tried to find out and seek the Lord. How do we handle the presence of the Lord? They found out, went back, and they made their journey to the restoration. They didn't throw in the towel. I don't know if you're new here. I don't know, some of you, if you actually believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Many of you I would know in this room and believe by your life and profession of faith, but I want you to know that there can be this ever-increasing presence. And when you make a mistake, don't throw in the towel. Find out what is required to handle this ever-increasing presence of God in our life. Is there a place of obedience? Is my daily devotion of taking time to pray and read the Bible and maybe a supplemental Bible study verse and a little passage from someone who wrote it, and it's very good, and maybe it's Oswald Chambers or Our Daily Bread or whatever, and that's good. And maybe that's the 15 minutes, the half an hour, the hour. But I got to tell you something. There's still more time in the day. And I know we have jobs. I know we have responsibilities. Oh, that's fine for you, Pastor. You can just sit in the office and do that all day. Oh, thanks for telling me. I'm married too, Phil. They take up time. Darwin, I have children too. And, oh, yeah, they're young adults. They still take time. You take time. I have friends. They take time. And I'm really saying this wrong, because they don't really take time. I give them time. Now, what if I give God time? The nearness, the continued, the beyond the devotional time, I stop in the middle of my day. Father, I acknowledge you in this place, in my life. And I just want to tell you that I have affection towards you. I need you to help me. I feel my flesh trying to conquer today, and I don't feel so holy. But I take this moment and want you to know I want to be near you. Would you keep walking with me today? That was after the devotional time. Some hours went by. And now I go to the kitchenette thing in our office. I take from the press pot a fresh cup of coffee, depending on who makes it, the amount of cream that I add. They accuse me of making it a little on the weak side. Marlene makes it, and I drink it, and hair starts immediately growing out of my knuckles. So what I do when she makes it is I add a little coffee to my cream. And in that moment at that counter, and I don't always kneel down, I just, oh, hey, this is a moment. And it wasn't the hour devotion, and it maybe wasn't the 2 minutes somewhere, but now it was, I'm just at the counter. I saw it, Lord. I want you to know I love you today. I'm not talking about all the tomorrows. I'm not making great proclamations about all the tomorrows. I just want you to know I love you today. Would you just be in my life? I walk out. Marlene made it. I sip it, and I go into an appointment, and we talk and share, and I say, let's just pray together. It's an act of worship because we acknowledge God, and we know our limitations, and we need Him. The appointment's over, and then I come out in the hallway and joke around with Marlene, Carol, tell them I got to go, I got to run over to wherever to meet somebody and do something, and I'm on the phone in the vehicle and put it down, and I'm reminded, you know, I talk with people. But I can talk with you right now. And I don't need this phone. They can't pull me over and give me a ticket because I don't need the phone to talk to you or to listen to you. And then I can talk to him, and my mind will drift and think about maybe work or family or some dream of being somewhere warm. Tropical. It happens. Recently, it's mostly riding somewhere warm on a Harley. And then my mind will drift. And then I sometimes he'll say something to me. He'll get my attention back. I was like, that's because all the dreams and the shiny stuff are always second. Or third or fourth or fifth or whatever. And it's this presence. Ongoing. And there are times that I don't respond as quick as I should. or I don't do it, handle God's presence the prescribed way, and I've got to go back and say, I've got to do this differently. I've got to crucify my flesh. I've got to walk in obedience to Him. I've got to acknowledge Him. Proverbs says, I acknowledge Him in all my ways, and He will direct my steps. Sorry, Psalms. I want to see God's presence increase in my life, in our life, and the multiplication of that of when we get together. Whether it's a Bible study, a small group, or I see you at Quick Trip. You know, I don't pay attention to this too much anymore, but every once in a while I catch it. Because you talk to your Christian buddy at Quick Trip, and there's other people around, yeah, 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 blah, 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 blah. All right, we'll see you. Love you, man. I don't even think about it. Until I think about, I never hear people in the world say that. Love you, man. Talk to you later. I mean, we're grown men. The world will know you are His disciple by how you love one another. This presence, this fellowship of His Spirit upon us, upon each of us, and when we're together. Because outside of His presence, outside of His awareness, outside of acknowledging Him, I want you to remember this, there is no deliverance. And there is no fullness of joy. There isn't. That is only found in Him. Outside of Him, there is no eternal promise. There is no peace. There is no hope. There is no fullness of God's Spirit. There is no empowerment from on high outside His presence. We're just doing it on our own. And you and I got limitations. But the ongoing six steps, and I'm not telling you it has to be a literal six steps, but I cannot travel far without some act of worship. I am not to allow a lot of time to go by without some act of worship. Because I will get far from Him. Oh, I'll still, you know, pray to Him and talk to Him and go to church and all. But there isn't this ongoing fellowship. It's like I check in and I check out. No, it is traveling together. Challenge you, encourage you, however you want to look at it. If you need encouragement, I encourage you. If you need the challenge, rise to the challenge. Close the door on your office. Post-it note, do not disturb. Phone, DND. There's a button on there like that, it's do not disturb. Not to hide from people, not because you don't want to deal with headaches anymore. But you are going to involve yourself in an act of worship. And if it's 30 seconds, fantastic. If it turns into 3 minutes, that's fine. You take the post-it note off, you take the DND off, you're back at it. Hour and a half later, hour 43 minutes later, 23 minutes, whatever it is. This ongoing awareness, act of worship, that continues to bring His presence, this acknowledging of His presence in our life, and then it rests on you and it fills you. And when it's on you, it's not just on you from that moment. It's like He lingers on you. He lavishes on you. And you know when you walk around and meet people and walk into problems and all of that, kind of drips off you. It says something different. Why do I cry? Why do I get happy? I don't know why I like you so much. Or I don't know why you bother me so much. I I've had people tell me they prayed for me before, but when you told me that the other day, I don't know, I just actually believed you. Ooh, the Spirit kind of revealed that, yeah, this is a person. Something's different. Some anointing, some empowerment, something of God's Spirit and presence. That's the living church. Ah, I know my history, you know yours. In and of ourselves, we're not qualified, but Jesus Christ qualifies you. Amen. So the scripture says, He qualifies us. We are qualified through Him. His presence. Will you be a person of His presence? I remember when I was a kid, I had a cousin. His name was Lee Spiegelman. Yes, he was Jewish. And I'm Italian. So to speak. I'm Italian. Okay, no, we're good. It was through marriage of my grandma's sister, and I had an uncle. We called him Jaime. I really don't know what his real name was. Maybe it was Jaime. Jaime Spiegelman. But I remember being around Lee. We were kids, and we would play. You remember G.I. Joe's? Back when, you know, those were action figures. Not supper. That's been around so long now that some of you married that. It's not just kids. Anyhow, when I was a kid, we had G.I. Joes, and then they had like other figures that were like they were knights. And do you remember Johnny West? Johnny West. Anyhow, I won't go on about all the toys. Just a few more. Tonka. Oh, anyhow. We used to play this, and we would, you know, I'd go hang out there and be for hours. Well, he had this very peculiar laugh. And if you have this laugh, I want you to know it's wonderful. It sounded like this. This is how he laughed. He was just blowing this air out. I didn't laugh like that. Until I came home. It rubbed off on me. And I found out without thinking about it, I'm at home, maybe later that evening, the next day, something funny happens, we do something as a family, and I go, what do you think about it? And my parents changed that. You know, it rubbed off on me because I was in His presence for a period of time. If I will continually be in His presence, consistent, not travel too far, not let too much time go by, He will linger on me. How this would transform our life. I will be the first to admit in this room, I need what I preached this morning more. I'm not preaching to you as some righteous preacher who's got it all together. I just shared some things from my life, but I need more. 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 Because I can walk into trouble, and because He lingers on me. You know what Jesus did in the middle of trouble? Read the Gospels. There was no more trouble. A person of His presence.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.